And welcome in, everybody. This is a brand new venture as part of the College Football Playoff. It is called Playoff Podcast. I'm your host, TJ Reeves. I have been thrilled, pleased, honored to be part of the College Football Playoff's first 3 years of existence, all the way through to those championship games that have seen in 3 different years Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson all crowned as champions. Who will be those 4 teams in the semifinals? Who will be the 2 teams in the championship game coming in January in Atlanta? And who will ultimately hoist up that College Football Playoff championship trophy? That's what we're all trying to find out. So again, this is something new. This is something different. We're glad that you found us, however you found us, through the platforms of the College Football Playoff, their website, their app, etc. I cannot do this alone, so I've enlisted the help of a media friend of mine that I've gotten to know through the College Football Playoff. How about that? Price Atkinson is his name. Price is a radio host for ESPN Upstate, the terrestrial radio station that is in Upstate South Carolina, kind of the outer limits of the Charlotte radio market. And oh, by the way, Price has taken up residency at the College Football Playoff the last couple of years with the Clemson Tigers, who he covers. Good to have you, my friend. I know we're excited because the rankings release for the first time this year is imminent. It's all about to be here, and I'm thrilled to have you with me.
What a better way to launch this venture, TJ, when this friendship was forged and launched in the rafters in Tempe, where we watched Clemson and Alabama. Actually, technically, I don't mean that. We met on Radio Row, but we continued that friendship up into the rafters and also into the wee hours of the morning as we were on the Clemson postgame show very late into the night, my friend. Happy to be here and cannot wait for tonight.
Yeah, so what Price and I are going to do is give you our thoughts and opinions as we go along. But the great thing about this, Price, and this playoff podcast is you're going to hear from dignitaries that are involved with the College Football Playoff. For example, the first guest will be coming up straight ahead after you're done. The first guest from the College Football Playoff is the executive director, Mr. Bill Hancock. Can't wait to talk to him about the nuts and bolts of the playoff committee, the selection committee, how it works, how they decide what they decide. I think a lot of fans are going to be fascinated about this. And of course, we're now at warp speed. We need more warp speed, Mr. Scott. We're at warp speed. I'm making Star Trek references that no one under the age of 30 gets, but that's okay, because Bill Hancock's going to lay out for us that we're approaching the nitty gritty of the college football season, the wheelhouse of the College Football Playoff selection committee. And we're going to get down to those final 4 teams eventually by the final weekend of November, the first weekend of December, when Championship Saturday happens. So it's going to be very exciting to watch all of this unfold. And Bill is going to talk with us about that. Also on this playoff podcast, something unique each week, we're going to get exclusive access on the podcast to the selection chair. The committee chair is Kirby Hocut, the athletic director at Texas Tech. We're anxious to talk to him coming up a little bit later on about those initial rankings that are due out for this first time as we get done with October and head towards November. Halloween is happening. We flip the calendar to November and the first rankings are out. Kirby Hocut will be here later on to talk briefly with us about those rankings. Before we get to all of that, though, Price, let's get caught up right now on the state of the season coming out of last weekend. These things we know. Alabama almost seems to have an engraved invitation, do they not, into this College Football Playoff initial ranking? It's like every year Alabama's somewhere in that 4, the first 3 years it's come out. So we fully expect when the first rankings are released, the Tide are going to be part of that yet again.
Oh, no question will they be a part of it. Absolutely, that's the easiest money you can make in Vegas. It won't be much, but it will be easy money. However, as we find out in these first time through with each of the selection committees having a little bit different flavor and makeup, what they're valuing, and we know their criteria, but a lot of big questions still is the first set of rankings that kind of sets the table and the template. But one of the big questions, as you mentioned, Alabama, how big will eye test be tonight? Because if you go by eye test, there's no question. I think Alabama's won. But if you go by resume and who you beat, who you played, Georgia's got a mighty strong case to show up on the one line tonight.
Very interesting that Price throws that out there. Of course, Georgia whacked Florida on the weekend in the rivalry game, and it not only cost the Gators the game, it cost them their head coach, Jim McElwain, in that blowout. And so Georgia unbeaten, just like Alabama is in the SEC. Georgia also has that road win at Notre Dame. So just one more time real quick, you would not be that surprised if this committee says Georgia is one potentially and Alabama, let's say, is two?
Well, first of all, nothing will surprise me tonight, because when a committee meets for the first time, there will be no shock value tonight. It might be a whoa for a split second, but that's it, because you just don't know what their mindset is. We have not heard from anybody in that room yet. So when you look in terms of quality wins, I go to Georgia right now, and context does matter, and that's something that Florida State or Alabama should get credit for, because it was a fully powered, healthy Florida State team that they beat down in the season opener. Now, context matters then. Obviously, Florida State's not as good as we once thought. But then you look at Georgia, you go back, and when Mississippi State was the talk of the town and maybe a challenger in the West, in the SEC West to Alabama, they get absolutely boat raced 31-3 out of Athens as Georgia gets that win. And obviously, we know that second game in the season where they went to South Bend and got a mighty, what looks even bigger now, a 20-19 victory on the road at Notre Dame. So when you look at resume and who you played, who you beat, I think Georgia's got the edge over Alabama.
Well, it is impressive. We're going to have so many different ways to debate this. And the fun thing is, Price is the bookend. He's the beginning of the show, and then he gets to come back with me after the rankings are out, and we kick it around for a little while on Playoff Podcast. Okay, so we're curious. Ohio State obviously derailed Penn State's 7-0 season with a dramatic comeback win in Columbus. Price, what a football game Saturday. Were the Buckeyes, Urban Meyer, the answer to the trivia question, the first ever college football playoff champions, the Ohio State Buckeyes from back three seasons ago? They flexed their muscle a bit, got an enormous comeback win by 1 point. And so I'm curious if Ohio State might make an appearance in these rankings off that win. Your quick thought.
Boy, they look really, really good. And I think you got to put that Ohio State win over Penn State as one of the wins of the year in college football. I still might put that one behind what Oklahoma did going into the Horseshoe and winning that game, which still to me would stand up as number one. But you look at how Ohio State did it against a darn good Penn State team and the comeback. They did it at home. And all their quality wins, if you want to call them quality, everything they've had has been at home. And that really was the only semblance of a quality win we've seen from Ohio State so far, in my opinion. So I think I'm going to be really interested to see how that win is valued, and also how that plays head-to-head with Oklahoma and Ohio State, both one-loss teams. Is it a big – how big of a factor is it? Because traditionally – it's a factor when you look at head-to-head, but more so primarily in terms of a tiebreaker sense when you see two even teams. So it'll be really interesting. I initially thought that Ohio State, Saturday night late as the smoke was clearing and everything was settling, that Ohio State would show up at four. I don't think that's going to be the case anymore. Going back and look at who they played, who they beat, I don't think they have the case that Clemson and Notre Dame has for 3 and 4.
But the great thing about these debates, there's one group that matters, and we're going to get to find out what they think, at least initially, subject to change, and it will change with winning, with losing over the course of the next few weeks. But at least initially, we're going to find out what they think here on this edition of Playoff Podcast, and then Price and I are going to debate that. Just real quick, another minute or two here before we get to Bill Hancock. You saw that Clemson team. You've seen them up close and personal for the last two seasons. You saw them on Saturday night in the rain at Death Valley against Georgia Tech get a 24-10 ACC win. Clemson, the defending champs. Again, that's last year. Deshaun Watson now in the NFL, et cetera, et cetera. But what about the Clemson Tigers? Give me 30 seconds. Go.
I think you look at Clemson, there's no doubt about the strength of their wins that they've had so far. I think that you get the return of Kelly Bryant, and that's another big question. Are injuries and how much are they factored in tonight? Because you look at Clemson, their one loss, as we all know, that was up at Syracuse, and Kelly Bryant was playing on basically one leg that night, couldn't protect himself, subsequently gets literally knocked out of the football game. He comes back with spectacular 22-33 against the Yellow Jackets, 207 yards, 2 touchdowns. He looked fantastic running the football. He looked like he hadn't missed a beat. How much do those injuries factor with the committee when it comes to the Tigers?
We're going to find out on that. Of course, Wisconsin is undefeated in the Big Ten. You mentioned Oklahoma with the early season win, of course, at Ohio State. Their loss to Iowa State at home a couple of weeks ago. Now isn't looking like that bad of a loss after Iowa State defeated TCU on the weekend and handed the Froggies their first loss. So we're just trying to sort through everything that came out of the weekend. And are you ready? Are you primed? Are you amped to find out about these rankings, Price Atkinson?
The first set is the most anticipated besides the very last set. Why? Because you just don't have any idea what's going to happen.
Who are those four? Who's five? Who's six? We're going to find out in a little bit on this edition of Playoff Podcast. Price, promise me this. You're back at the end to give me some analysis once those rankings are out.
Let's do it. I can't wait to see what's one through four. I'm ready as everybody else is to see how this thing, how this journey is going to begin. And it honestly, it begins tonight with these first rankings, TJ.
All right, there's Price Atkinson. We've got much more on the way. You're listening to Playoff Podcast. Well, it is a pleasure. He's the first. He's the first ever interview here on Playoff Podcast. He is the executive director of the College Football Playoff, Mr. Bill Hancock. First, thank you. It is a privilege to get to be part of what you guys are doing with College Football Playoff and part of this endeavor. So I'm just saying publicly thank you to you because it's a kick. It's a thrill. I love talking college football. I love talking about this playoff, and I'm honored to get to be part of what you guys are doing. And here we go with the first rankings coming out. We're ready to rock and roll for another year.
Well, thank you, TJ. And I want to tell the listeners, TJ is a real pro. And so he's going to find information that you may not get anywhere else. So glad to have you, TJ. Well, as we say, appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Mean it. Thank you. I appreciate you as well. So now all the pleasantries are out of the way. I want to have some fun about the process because I think a lot of people will be fascinated to know this. In Bill's background, he formerly ran the college basketball Final Four, formerly ran the BCS, the Bowl Championship Series, which crowned a college football national championship for well over a decade, and now for the last 3 years has run the College Football Playoff. First, if you enlighten us, you're in a great position to answer this. How is the playoff similar or maybe completely different than what you had with the BCS and what college basketball does with its selection committee, its tournament, and the Final Four?
Well, I'm the luckiest guy I know. I mean, I got to be the director of the best event in college basketball, and goodness gracious, now I get to be the director of the best event in college football. Just very, very lucky. And from the 16 years I was with basketball, and now my 12th year in postseason football, I can tell you that there are more similarities than differences between the way the basketball operates and the way that we operate in football. Human selection committee of experts, defined protocol, getting small groups of teams that can be evaluated against each other. All those are the similarities. Probably the biggest difference on the football side is in that we have committee members who are beyond the industry. In basketball, our committee was only athletic directors or commissioners. But obviously in football, we have former coaches, we have former players, we have former university presidents. And that gives us, I'm not saying either one does it better, but what the football side does for us is it gives us different perspectives. And, TJ, you probably saw a few years ago the NCAA, there was debate about whether the NCAA should do it the way we do with more people that are not in the industry, and they decided not to. But I suspect at some point that'll be brought back up. That perspective of a quote-unquote outsider just really helps. But I do have to say also, when we're in the room, you know, we don't think insider and outsider. It's just everybody's on the committee, and let's roll up our sleeves and get to work.
Well, and for the fans, and I also love the fact that at different points you've included members of the media, you've included former coaches, as you've mentioned, guys that have been former players that have gone on to their administrative careers. So you have really a great cross-section in that regard. And fans should know there is a selection committee, essentially, for the committee where you guys vet who is interested. I wonder, when you initially did this, was it dozens? Was it maybe several hundred that wanted to be part of it? Is it still dozens, several hundred that would want to be part of the committee and go through the process of maybe being selected to the 13-person committee?
We haven't really trolled to find people who are interested, but I know it would be several hundred. I keep a list that probably has maybe 60 people on there that,
wow,
as I go through the year, I think, oh, this person might be good. Let's put him on the list. It's we start with integrity, high integrity people, and then football experts. And so we have the best of both worlds. We have top quality people who know and love the game.
Love that. And again, give them an idea, because this show is part of the initial rankings release that is coming out for 2017 and the 2018 playoff. But this committee has experience. They have terms in which they're on the committee for three seasons. They have experience having done this, and they're obviously keeping track of games leading up to the first meeting and the first selection process. It's very involved, right, all the way up until this initial ranking.
Yeah, very, very defined. Everything about how we operate is defined. And then when we get in the meeting room, it's all about the committee members' individual decisions. And as you can imagine, TJ, we all waited for months, eagerly anticipating the arrival of October 30th. It's what we live for. It's why we do what we do. And that is the ranking of the teams each week. If there's some white knuckle times, it's not always easy. Matter of fact, very little about it's easy. But we know that we give each team a thorough evaluation, and we're confident that the rankings are the right ones.
Another thing that I think interests fans, you have 13 committee members, and not unlike what the NCAA basketball selection committees do, you will have situations where a team from a conference that might have some kind of individual or personality that was part of that conference, they will come up for discussion, and those committee members will step out of the room and the debate will go on really without them there. Again, integrity is what you're talking about, and the fans should know that's one of the utmost things, because some might look on the collegefootballplayoff.com website or on the app and see the members and go, well, wait a minute, there's obviously going to be a bias when so-and-so is about to talk about the SEC or the Big 12 or one of these different conferences. It's important for the integrity that fans know, right, that they're not even in the room in a lot of instances when these discussions happen.
Yeah, our members are recused from discussion about schools where they are compensated. So if they're on the staff or they like Tom Osborne, for example, with Nebraska, he had to leave the room when Nebraska was discussed. He was not on the payroll at that point, but he was receiving a suite at the games. And for us, that was compensation. We have a member this year whose daughter is a student photographer being compensated by a different school. Well, because it's his immediate family, that person does not participate in discussion about that school. There may be one difference in our the way we operate than the NCAA. The NCAA has a slightly different policy regarding people from a conference. We let people stay in the room if their conference is being discussed, a school from their conference. And the theory there is they've seen them play. And who can say better, hey, I saw them, and their secondaries is kind of weak. And we've had that. And, TJ, I've been in the room for all the meetings, every meeting for all 3 years, and there is just not any bias. There's not any prejudice. I've heard people just be dead honest about a team that they might be in their conference or that they played, and that's a great thing about what we have. People understand the candor in the room, and they're free to say the truth. It's a great process.
Love hearing here from Executive Director of the College Football Playoff, Mr. Bill Hancock. It is our inaugural, our maiden voyage on Playoff Podcast. He's given us some great insight. As you mentioned, this is the fourth go-around now for the committee and to begin the process. I love these types of questions. Give us a misconception. You've already kind of covered one in terms of integrity or bias. Give us another misconception that's out there about the process and about the selecting, something that people think, well, this must go on. Not true, because you're always in the room, as you were mentioning. Do you have one that comes to mind?
Well, the first one, and I think we passed this on a misconception, but the first one was that the committee members would just come in and put down their top 25 and average those and then go home. It's way different than that. It's very detailed. We vote in three teams at a time for three rounds of voting, and then we go to four teams at a time for the last four rounds. So I think small groups of teams being evaluated against each other. We never talk about 25 teams all at the same time. That'd be silly. You couldn't operate that way. So if there is a misconception, it's probably that. I think as well, there could be a misconception that somebody talks a lot more than others. Not true. They all talk. And if somebody's quiet for just a little while, the chair will say, "Hey, Tommy, what do you think?" it's a great process because they're all so involved. And they vote on a computer system that we created from scratch. They don't know how the other members vote. I have a screen in front of me. I'm in the room. I don't vote, but I'm in the room, and I have a screen in front of me that tells me how they're all voting. But no one else sees it. And, you know, there was a thought that if I had seen someone voting as an outlier for two or three ballots in a row, that I would pull them aside and say, "Hey, are you way off on this team. What's the deal?" But that's never happened. I watch the trends, and they all take this so seriously. They work so hard. And it's just a high integrity process.
Mm, love that. Love this insight. Okay, so in the rotation, we go back to the beginning with the first ever playoff, with the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl being the two semifinal games. As somebody that has loved college football as a fan and now has been in the media for well over 25 years, those two games are symbolic, it seems like, with the college football postseason. What does it mean for the college football playoff to have those two games back as the semifinal games in this year's rotation?
Well, you're right. It's a three-year rotation, so we just worked through with each of the six bowls having hosted a semifinal. The Rose Bowl, you know, TJ, they don't call it the granddaddy of them all for nothing. It's just a wonderful experience, beautiful setting. The people there do a great job. And likewise for the Sugar Bowl. New Orleans has been having college football postseason for eight decades. And it's a great site, a great destination city. So we're happy to have rotated back to those two. But we know that next year we'll be back at the Orange and the Cotton. And then the year after that, we'll be back at the Fiesta and Peach. So that's the way the rotation works.
And those, again, go in rotation until a championship site is then put into play for the championship game. That championship site this year is Mercedes-Benz Stadium, the home of the Atlanta Falcons, one of the new crown jewels of the Southeast. I have not been there yet myself. We will obviously be there for the playoff. You have been there and have obviously seen it. Give the fans on Playoff Podcast a quick taste of that facility when we get to championship weekend. It just from looking at it on TV online, it is unreal, right?
It's a beautiful facility, very fan-friendly, wide concourses, lots of concessions options, comfortable seating area, tremendous scoreboard, different than the one in Dallas. Circular halo board, they call it, and our video board, excuse me, and it's the video board's beautiful, but you've got a clean choice about whether you watch the game on the field or watch the game on the video board. And the games that I've been to there, just kind of looking around and poking around, most people have chosen to watch on the field. But walkable, downtown Atlanta, lovely place, a lot of great large hotels, very comfortable, really a tremendous destination for us, and we're proud to be going there in the stadium's first year.
Yeah, it's amazing, that facility, and can't wait to be there and be part of all of that when we get to the championship weekend. Couple more moments here with Bill Hancock, the executive director of the college football playoff. Fun one for you, because you're a fan first and foremost. How many games would you estimate that you get to see in a given weekend and or on the DVR now? We used to have the VHS, the VCR and the VHS. Then we kind of moved on to other technology. Now we have the DVR. How many would you get to say that you get to see as the executive director? What would be the guess?
Man, really good question. When I'm at a game, the weekends I'm at a game, I don't see as many, of course. But if in the rare weekend, like last weekend, I got to stay home, and I guess I probably looked at all or part of 15,
wow, maybe
18 different games. I'm that fan who sits in my chair and eats my nachos and drinks my water or Diet Pepsi or or excuse me, Diet Dr. Pepper.
That's right.
You know, or and I just sit there all day and watch football. And my wife is a great football fan as well. So the two of us are just sitting there, and we have PIP on our TV, so we can watch two games at a time, and we do. And then my other advantage is I get to download games like the committee members do, so I'll probably watch at least another 5, maybe 10 games in some weeks off of the download. The download is really cool because there it's a cut down version.
Sure,
and you can watch a game in 50 minutes, no time between plays, no time between quarters, no halftime, and I knock out a lot of games that way. Don't watch all of every game. There's not the time for that. Don't really need to. Would love to, but don't need to. And then of course I watch all the highlights programs. I'm just another college football fan. That's all I can say, TJ. Just another devoted fan who can't get enough of it and thinks there's too much time between Saturdays.
Yeah, well, and now it's going to get even crazier and crazier over these next few weeks with the rankings released. One more for you. I know you're proud of a lot of things with the college football playoff. People should know more about the foundation that you guys have, the extra yards initiative with teachers. Brag on whatever else you'd like to brag on besides the selection process, the actual playoff, the playing of the games, because it has grown now over the last 3+ years. So the floor is yours. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, TJ. Obviously, we're delighted with the way the playoff has come about, and people just love it. But also very proud of our foundation. When we created the playoff, we knew we wanted to have a charitable initiative. And we talked about every possible good cause, but finally settled on K-12 education. Nothing's more important in our country than education. And we have teachers who are spending money out of their own pocket because their budgets have been cut to buy Crayolas or paper or, you know, who knows what. And we just said we've got to do our part to help with that. So through our College Football Playoff Foundation, we created Extra Yard for Teachers, to borrow a little football phrase there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are helping teachers all around the country with their needs in their classroom, but also we're honoring teachers, we're recognizing teachers, and we have a wonderful event for teachers at the championship game where they 500 or I guess it may be 1,000 this year just come together and we celebrate the profession. So we are hoping to move the needle on making people aware of how wonderful teachers are and also helping with teacher recruitment and just making life easier for teachers, which in turn will increase the level of education in our country. And that's our goal. We're very proud of it. My wife happens to be a retired high school English teacher.
There we go.
That's not why we have the foundation, but she loves it, and I just have firsthand experience of how influential teachers are. And you know, TJ, we all have a teacher who set us on the right path. Mine was a guy named Flavius Richardson, and I mean, I wouldn't be anywhere if it wasn't for Flavius Richardson. And
what a name!
What a name!
I love it.
He's 79 years old, I guess, and I see him occasionally, and he is still Mr. Richardson to me.
Well, you don't know this about me because we've never spoken about this, but my wife is a fifth grade teacher right now and has taught elementary school for going on 20 years. My two twin daughters are in the fourth grade, and education is a humongous topic in our household, a big deal. So on behalf of them, as you mentioned, on behalf of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of teachers and those that are in all different facets of education, whether they work in the office and administration, when you're talking about aides, when you're talking about lunchroom workers, everybody that makes a school go, bravo to the College Football Playoff for what you're doing. Because you're right, they are impacting lives every single day about 10 months out of the year. It's an amazing, probably understated profession on how important it is. And I think it's just great that the College Football Playoff is reaching out to teachers and saying, hey, you're important. You mean something to us. We want to recognize you. We want to help you how we can help you.
That's it. That's what it's all about. And I congratulate your wife. She is a part of the engine that makes this country go.
Well, I congratulate her on putting up with me for a lot of years. I know you congratulate your wife for the same way, and a lot of the husbands should congratulate their wives on putting up with us because we're college football nuts. Hey, guess what? This has been a blast. It's been a lot of fun. I hope to do it again with you a little bit down the line, obviously, as we get closer to the semifinals and obviously at Audio Avenue Championship Game weekend. So thank you for that. Now on Playoff Podcast, you know what's coming next? Mr. Hancock, we're going to get the rankings reveal, and we're going to get to talk to the selection chair, Kirby Hocut. This is what it's all about, right? That's coming up. We get to find out the initial rankings in a little bit. Exciting time for us, sir.
Outstanding. This is what it's all about, and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it's finally here.
It is. Bill Hancock, thank you. A treat to talk to you.
Thanks, DJ. Take care.
We will continue on Playoff Podcast. Stay with us. Okay, the moment is here. The rankings are out, and we get the opportunity on Playoff Podcast, as we will do each and every week, to talk with the head of that selection committee for the 2018 College Football Playoff. Mr. Kirby Hocut is with us. College football fans have been waiting weeks and weeks and weeks for this first rankings reveal. It is now here. We are all excited. I know the committee is excited, as everything is now underway. Welcome, sir. Here we go.
We are, TJ. It's an exciting time of the year. It was great to have the selection committee together over the past 2 days, and we'll be back 5 more times. So exciting time of the year, and appreciate you having me on this evening.
Well, this is exciting stuff for us, and okay, let's dive right in. Georgia ranked at number 1 in your initial rankings in front of Alabama. A lot of fans, particularly of the SEC, a lot of Alabama fans would love to hear the rationale behind the Dogs being in front in the initial ranking.
Well, I'll tell you, TJ, it was a very, very thin separation between number 1 Georgia and number 2 Alabama. It was passionate debate and discussion by the selection committee. Both teams have been impressive on the field of play. The edge this week went to Georgia with their impressive wins over 2 top 25 teams, over number 16 Mississippi State. That was a solid win for Georgia, but even more so was the win over number 3 Notre Dame. Those two wins gave Georgia a slight advantage, but I will say it was very, very slight. The selection committee continues to be impressed with both teams and their convincing victories and the way that they're playing on the field.
Falling right in line, Notre Dame is in at number 3 as the best of the one-loss teams, right behind Georgia and Alabama. Kirby, what is the rationale there for Notre Dame being in the 3 spot to start us off this week?
Well, Notre Dame has a solid resume. They've beat 3 teams that are ranked in this week's top 25. Their only loss coming by 1 point to the number 1 team in the country, the Georgia Bulldogs. So Notre Dame has assembled a solid resume, and their 3 victories over top 25 teams place them at that 3 spot. But, TJ, I would say that the margin of separation between team number 3 and team number 7 was closer than the separation between teams number 1 and 2.
And that leads me to a natural follow-up question, which is, was that the hottest contested debate in the room, really, was how to slot 3 through 7 as you ended up with Clemson and then eventually Oklahoma and Ohio State on the 1 through 6 line? Was that the hottest debate, was 3 through 7?
Well, it was, because when you're looking at 8 games that each of those teams have played, we're starting to become very familiar with these teams. We don't allow ourselves to look ahead, but we still have so much football left to be played. So, these teams, 3 through 7, as all teams will, they'll have the chance in the weeks ahead to strengthen their resume, their full body of work in the eyes of the selection committee, and we look forward to watching them do that.
Just a couple more moments with the selection committee chair, Kirby Hocut, with us on Playoff Podcast. You've mentioned head-to-head a couple of times already in our conversation, and with the teams at 5 and 6, Oklahoma and Ohio State having played each other, how important is that head-to-head win by the Sooners in Columbus for having them where they are right now at number 5 in the initial ranking?
Well, as you can tell, from Oklahoma at 5, Ohio State at 6, Penn State at 7, head-to-head results, they're very important to the selection committee. And, you know, those teams will continue to have a chance to strengthen their resumes. But obviously, head-to-head matchups, results are important to us. That's why we play the game. That's why we line up on Saturday. But those head-to-head matchups are very important and significant with this week's ranking, with Oklahoma being at that number five spot.
And one more here from Executive Director Bill Hancock. He was talking about the policies, the criteria, the debate, and the discussion. How important will it be for these teams moving forward, especially the ones trying to get into the top four, to accrue road or neutral wins? Because they seem to have more value if you're able to get them. But what about that in the process and the debate on a road or a neutral win?
Yeah, exciting question to ask, TJ. All games are important, as you know, and all of our fans know. But we're careful. We do not allow ourselves to project, to look ahead. So respectfully, I will just say all games are important. Careful not to look ahead. And, boy, what a great first 9 weeks of this college football season it's been. And we look forward to the weeks ahead.
Just win your games. That's the most important thing moving forward, the message from the committee. No doubt about that.
That's wise counsel.
Listen, Kirby Hocutt, our pleasure to have you on this first edition of Playoff Podcast with the initial rankings out. We look forward to talking with you as the playoff rankings unfold over the next few weeks. Thank you for the time here, sir.
Yes, thank you, TJ.
And we are wrapping it up shortly, straight ahead on Playoff Podcast. Okay, we are back in on Playoff Podcast one more time with my sidekick, my bro, Price Atkinson. Rankings reveal number one. Trick or treat. It's on Halloween. It's out for 2017 for the 2018 playoff. And I have to say, back at the beginning of the podcast, you called it. You said, don't be surprised if Georgia is one in front of Alabama. So I know you're not surprised. I kind of agree with the sentiment that that Alabama appears to be the most impressive team with the eyeball test, but now it's official. In the initial ranking, Georgia is one. Price, your reaction?
Not surprised. Not surprised at all because, well, as we talked about it just a little bit ago, it shows that the committee is valuing who you played, who you beat. And Georgia has gone out and played and beaten better teams. And those two teams that really stand out, number 24 at the time, Notre Dame, that has changed. They're better than that. At the time, number 17, Mississippi State, who they boat raced 31-3, that has changed now. So Alabama still got a lot ahead of them, but I think we can safely say when it comes to Georgia and Alabama, this college football playoff, the road to the championship and the playoff, it's going to run through Auburn, TJ.
Well, yeah, because Auburn ends up playing both of these two teams.
Correct.
Fascinating. Georgia's win over Notre Dame is at Notre Dame. And so you can make the argument that Alabama doesn't have that kind of win away from home on a true road game. It's a neutral field win over Florida State for Alabama. Notre Dame, speaking of them, did get in the third spot in front of Clemson, as we were theorizing and talking earlier that might happen. Obviously, the committee valuing Notre Dame and their victories and the fact that their only loss is to the number one team. The one thing I would question is Notre Dame's three games away from South Bend are suspect opponents. I mean, Michigan State's okay, but Boston College, yeah, they're better as of late. And then the third one is North Carolina at North Carolina. So you could maybe throw a rock or two at Notre Dame being in there at number three, Price.
Yeah, and I hear you on that. But at the same time, you look at how they've won. They've won impressively. You know, you take NC State just this past weekend, had no problem with the Wolfpack, a team that a lot of people thought was going to be a dark horse, you know, in the playoff. Some people even picked them to be in the playoff. But Notre Dame's bread is going to be buttered, and it's going to be buttered in the final 3 weeks of the season. They've got Wake Forest this weekend at home, and then that's when, if they are going to make this playoff, it is going to be won on the final three games of the regular season, because we know they don't have the 13th data point with a conference championship game. They will go to Miami. They will play a Navy team that is very tough and a team they have had trouble with the last couple of years, and then they will finish at Stanford. I tell you, at Miami against Navy and at Stanford, if Notre Dame is good enough, we will see them run those three games to finish the regular season, and that is a tough way to finish, DJ.
Only a couple more minutes left on the playoff podcast. Clemson is in there at four. I think we both agree on that as the defending champs. Again, 1 year to the next, but they have the win over Auburn early in the year. They have beaten Louisville decisively. And again, they don't have an easy gauntlet here. Still have Florida State on the schedule. Still have a potential matchup with Miami if it comes to it in the championship game. We'll see about the Clemson Tigers. Oklahoma was five. Ohio State was six. You fine with that, Price Atkinson, on the initial ranking?
Say that again. It was Ohio.
Oklahoma at yep. five, Ohio State was six. Are you fine with that?
Yeah, because it was head to head. You look at head to head. If you're going to look at two teams that are basically one loss and you're looking at them ever so closely, you got to go head to head. And Oklahoma went to CBUS and they got an impressive win. Absolutely no problem with that whatsoever. I would have expected that.
And Wisconsin and Miami, very interesting. Big Ten champ. Big Ten team, ACC team, yet they are behind a bunch of one-loss teams. Here again, the committee on who have you played, who have you beaten, even though they're unbeaten, Wisconsin 9, Miami 10. Still a chance, though, for them to move up. I mean, Miami back-to-back games with Virginia Tech and Notre Dame at home could move up dramatically in these rankings. Let's see. Wisconsin may be hurt by the fact that Michigan is not as good as they've been talking about here in the days leading up to this ranking. Michigan not as good. It may hurt Wisconsin when it's all said and done. We'll see.
Yeah, whiskey is the one rare exception where, you know, what's the old adage? If you don't have a loss, then you control your own destiny. I don't think that's the case with a still an undefeated Wisconsin team. Even if they win out, I think if they win out, win the Big Ten championship, they will be right there in the discussion. However, Miami, with what they have the next 2 weeks, we're going to find out if Mark Richt's team, who has played with fire this season in many close games, especially the last few weeks, their next two games with Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, both coming to Coral Gables, we are going to find out how for real is Miami a legit college football playoff team. If they can win those two games, obviously they've got cakewalks against Virginia and at Pitt, right to the ACC championship game against NC State or Clemson. That will determine, because if they can win those out, Miami is in.
Well said. That will basically put a bow on this. We should mention, too, in two of the previous playoff scenarios, the initial one and the 2015 playoff as well. In both of those situations, Ohio State and Oklahoma got into the four when they were not initially in the first 10 of the ranking. So keep in mind, in two of the previous 3 years, a team not in the top 10 still played its way in. The message there is keep winning your games and watch what happens in front of you, and maybe you still find your way in the college football playoff Final Four. Price, final thought?
Real quick, one of these last teams, you look at 8 to, let's say, 16, 17, give me one team that is outside the top 10 that you think can make a run at the playoff.
Very intriguing team, UCF, Central Florida, Scott Frost team. They have a road win at Maryland. They have a road win at Navy. If it all comes down to it and they win the American Athletic Conference, they will have beaten potentially a top 25 USF team in their regular season finale, will have potentially beaten a team that is also in the college football rankings on this initial release at 23, Memphis. That's a very interesting team that could move up with other teams losing as an unbeaten. I don't know that they can get all the way there, but keep an eye on UCF. That's mine. What about you?
I would say Virginia Tech looks appealing, but Oklahoma State at number 11. You've got Bedlam coming up this weekend. They've got to go to Ames the very next week. Then you close with the two Kansas schools, but you figure they win those games, likely to play in a Big Ten, a Big 12 championship game. They're going to play, what, a TCU, possibly an Iowa State, possibly Bedlam Part 2. If they can win out, let's say if they play Oklahoma and can beat Oklahoma twice, if it can get to that point, I think Oklahoma State would have a very strong case, TJ Reeves.
We love the debate, don't we? It's done for the first week. The initial rankings are out, folks. And we've had a great thrill debuting the playoff podcast from the College Football Playoff. Price Atkinson, I know you had fun.
Hey, it's a date. Let's do this again next week.
Absolutely. Cannot wait. It will be here before we know it in this weekend, in the weekend of November the 11th. This is what is going to shake things out. The next two Saturdays with so many big games, a lot to be decided.
Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Notre Dame 3, Clemson 4. For now, that's your 4. Subject to change, let's see what happens. That'll do it for this first edition of the Playoff Podcast. My thanks also to the executive director of the College Football Playoff, Bill Hancock, for being with me. Also, the selection chair, Kirby Hocut, giving us some comments on the rankings that, again, will be fluid, will be changing as we go along. We thank him for making time for us as well. And Price Atkinson, also great job. Check out Price on the terrestrial radio station ESPN Upstate in South Carolina. He'll be, I'm sure, taking nonstop calls about Clemson and why they aren't where they're supposed to be and on. So, Price, good luck with that. We thank you for being with us on this first edition. More to come of the Playoff Podcast.